Thanks so much for listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. You know what? This morning I looked in my refrigerator because I was thinking about the show coming up. And what did I see? I saw a jar of relish. I saw some pickles. And I saw some salsa. And every one of those products were made by someone here in Wisconsin who is has a little side business. And I thought, you know what? I'm glad to see that I'm supporting these businesses. John Ivanko, our guest next, is he's an author, a photographer, a food-loving entrepreneur, co-authored many books, including the latest, which is Homemade for Sale, How to Set Up and Market a Food Business from Your Home Kitchen. John and his co-author, Lisa Kivarest, run In Serendipity Bed and Breakfast outside Monroe, Wisconsin. And, you know, why not get started, maybe have your own business or your own little small business on the side, make a little extra money, and it's work, but you can have a lot of fun doing it, I think. But, boy, there are a lot of things that you need to consider. John Ivanko joins me by phone today. John, hi. Thank you for taking time to be with us.
Hey, Larry. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
It's always fun to talk with you, and I think it's a wonderful idea. You know, I picked up the first thing I've got to say is, you know, I opened your book, and I always, pretty much always start right from the beginning. So I'm reading these comments, and then I get into the foreword and reading it, and it doesn't, and it's by Nell Newman, and I'm, oh, okay, I didn't know who Nell Newman was, and so I'm going on, and it suddenly dawns on me who Nell Newman is, and I thought, and it was, what a fun story and a wonderful way to open your book.
It is. And it just gets to the fact that we all have to start somewhere. And most folks will start in their kitchen, tinkering with a recipe or following a passion they have, and build a business out of that.
And, of course, Nell Newman is the daughter of Paul Newman and Newman's Own, which is no longer, it's not really, he started in his kitchen, though, Paul did.
Well, sort of. I mean, that's where anyone, any food entrepreneur is going to start somewhere, and they're going to start in their own kitchen. They're not going to typically go to a restaurant or spend hundreds of thousands of dollars opening up a facility before they've tested things out. And really, that's what the spirit of what we call these cottage food laws that are happening across the country. It's really one of the reasons why they came into being is to help people kind of tinker with a recipe a little bit and be able to jumpstart their business a little, get it off the ground, and then grow it to a point where maybe they become the next Newman's Own organic item. And so it has to start somewhere, and why not in one's kitchen? Because that it really makes it much more cost-effective for folks to get started.
And as people listen in, as you're listening, maybe you're interested in starting a cottage food business. What do you need to know to get started? I know John's very happy to help. Maybe you're already running a home-based food business, and I'd certainly love to hear from you about, and I'm sure John would too, about your experiences. He has met the experiences of many people in his book, which I think adds a lot to the stories and the information in the book. So join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And these cottage food laws, I mean, they're things you need to, they're helpful laws in many ways.
Yeah, Larry, if there's anything good that actually came out of the Great Recession, this is it. 42 states so far across the country have made it possible for food entrepreneurs to launch a food business right from their home kitchen. But there's really four questions that are addressed in most cottage food laws, depending on the state, and it's the what, where, how, and how much. And the what, of course, is what kind of foods can you make? Either typically they're high acid or low moisture, high acid foods, the jams and jellies and pickles you mentioned, or low moisture, which are the breads and the cookies. All of these categories, you know, by those who write these laws, are what's considered non-hazardous foods. And that's partly what happened, is that they realized, well, gee, it's pretty hard. If you do jam, you follow recipes from extension or a proven source, you really are selling something to a neighbor or a friend, a person in your community. And the chances of you having an adverse impact on them with this product is very, very low, assuming you follow the recipes and so forth. But where you can sell it really depends on the law. In the case of Wisconsin, it is very specific. It's special community events and such, and farmers markets. But how you can sell it is a little trickier, and it has to do with variations of how to take orders and delivering. And again, in Wisconsin, we're really very much restricted to the farmers market outlet. And then the how much is can vary greatly by state, but in Wisconsin, it's about $5,000. So you're not going to retire a millionaire off the cottage food law. Let's make that very clear here in Wisconsin. But mm-hmm. It will get your business off the ground. And that's the spirit and the intent of the law, is to allow folks, they have a passion or a love, to finally be able to go out and sell their stuff to Larry Mueller, mm-hmm. if they can catch up with you at a farmer's market, or you follow with that passion, or you test out that recipe and get it to a point where, you know, expanding a business makes a lot more sense, because you've gone through the important work that you need to go through to get to that point.
Melissa in Onalaska has a question. Let's go to there. Melissa, thanks for calling. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Great, appreciate your call. What can we do for you?
I am a cookie artist, cookie decorator.
Oh.
And I know that there was a bill that they were trying to pass to amend the current cottage law. A cookie bill, and it only got so far, and then it got stopped, which is a bummer for me. I am going to be renting an incubator kitchen that is licensed here in La Crosse, so I can do the farmers markets. But I was wondering if you knew anything about that amendment, and if where that stood, and if it would coming up again for a vote.
Yes. Thanks so much for your interest and support of all of this. Yes, it's really exciting. Unfortunately, in Wisconsin, you in fact only can do high acid foods. We cannot do cookies or bread items and so forth. And we have, as we write about quite a bit in our book, Homemade for Sale, it's really a direction we want to go here. And we can serve muffins to our B&B guests in the morning, but we cannot sell them a dozen to take out on the bike trail with them. That is completely illegal. So we are very eager to see the cookies, breads, and other baked goods a component of a cottage food law be expanded to include that. And unfortunately, last year, the Senate unanimously passed the cookie bill, but it never got placed on the agenda for a vote in the House. So what that means is it's back to the drawing board in some sense. It is currently in the works. There are several folks that are working on it, including the Wisconsin Farmers Union, to re-strategize, to include both non-hazardous baked goods, but also try to increase that gross sales cap a little bit. $5,000 is a little... It'd be great to have 10 or 20, a little bit more to go, because when you get to the 20 or 30,000, you know, then you know you really have a great product. And guess what? You have retained earnings to be able to invest in either a commercial kitchen or a full-blown rental of as you mentioned, those shared-use incubator or community kitchens that are popping up all across the state. So you have some capital to work from to be able to make those investments rather than having to dig into personal savings. So, you know, that's what we're really hoping to see happen. Unfortunately, we're this year in the middle of the summer. They're really focused on the budget, so it probably won't come up until the fall or into next year. But we encourage folks to connect with us via our website and let us know their interest, and we will definitely keep you posted.
And your website again. Of course, we have a link to it on our Facebook page, but what is your website?
It's homemadeforsale.com.
Homemadeforsale.com, and that Homemade for Sale, of course, the title of the book. Melissa, thanks for calling.
Well, thank you. I'm my fingers are crossed, because it would save me a lot of money.
A lot of money and a lot of grief, yeah. Ken in Mayville, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, how you doing? I've got a line of barbecue sauce and rubs, and I'm actually doing deliveries right now. Just wanted to let people know it's a lot of fun, and if you get to that next level and getting into grocery stores and things, it helps to really be persistent, you know, with getting out there to the stores and demoing your product, and also have a wonderful spouse that believes in your product as much as you do, and is willing to support you as much as possible.
I think, John, some good sage comments there from Ken.
Yeah, well, the thing is, this gentleman is already working on more of a commercial basis. The cottage food law is really, the way they're set up, it's got to be direct to end user, consumer, your customer. The idea of selling wholesale or through other channels is pretty prohibited. It's all farmers markets and local, you know, special holiday bazaars and those kind of events. And the labeling is very different for that. Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection has a whole bunch of fact sheets specific to the Wisconsin Act 101, which is what this whole home canned product foods category would fall under. And they're very specific. And what you have to do, you have to have a point of sale sign. You know, these canned goods are homemade and not subject to state inspection. And you also have to deal with what's required on the labels, which aren't huge, but you do need to have the statements like this product was made in a private home, not subject to state licensing and or inspection. And that's very different than the gentleman that just called in, who is going through a much looking to go much broader than that and getting it into other other stores and outlets.
Yeah. John Ivankoe, our guest today. John, the co-author with his wife Lisa Kivrist of Homemade for Sale. He's going to be with us right up till 12:30. We're going to take a quick look at the news and weather, and then we'll be back with John. So you stay with us. We'll be right back. The term cottage industry harkens back, I think, to an earlier time, but there are many people who are successfully selling goods that they made in their own home. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. We're talking today with an eco-entrepreneur about how and why to consider starting your own home-based food enterprise. John Ivankoe is an author, photographer, food-loving entrepreneur. He's co-authored many books, including the latest, Homemade for Sale, How to Set Up and Market a Food Business from Your Home Kitchen. And John and his co-author and wife, Lisa Kivrist, they run In Serendipity Bed and Breakfast just outside Monroe, Wisconsin. And John Ivankoe, thank you again for spending time with us today. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
We have callers online who want to visit with you. And maybe we'll just take a call from Steve here first. Steve, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, how are you? Say, my brother and I have been making our own maple syrup since about 2009, and it's mostly for family and friends that we give away. And we certainly could expand it, but, you know, we know that there are regulations in place that have prohibited us from doing so. Are those regulations covered under the cottage law? Is that something that I can get more information on?
Yeah, it's a great question, Steve. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, the same entity that oversees the cottage food law in the state, they treat honey and maple syrup differently. It's similar in the sense that it's specialized, you know, products that are usually, you know, grown on a particular site or raised or harvested, but there's a separate sort of classification or category. You can do it, and from what I am reviewed on their site, you do not need a license or registration to produce and sell your own maple syrup from any location directly to the end consumer. But they have a whole bunch of specifics. There are sales caps and so forth, and very specific things that you need to follow through on, which they go in detail quite a bit on their website related to that. So it is. Again, honey and maple syrup are not considered cottage food. It's sort of a separate category, if you will.
Okay.
But that would be where you want to go look.
Thank you very much.
Sure.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Well, now I can add maple syrup, because I've got maple syrup from a local grower in my refrigerator as well. So relishes, pickles, salsa, maple syrup, all from locals. That's wonderful. And, you know, maybe you could... Is that pretty much it, the relishes and pickles, maybe salsa?
Yeah, in the state of Wisconsin, you can do pickled fruits and vegetables, but nothing that are refrigerator-oriented. sauerkraut, salsas, chutneys, jam, jellies, and applesauce. And if there's any question with respect to what, you can always say, hi, I've got this combo variation of this, and would this work? You would just contact Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, and, you know, say, here's my recipe, this is what I'm doing, I've done my little, and what they're really looking for are products that have an equilibrium pH of 4.6 or lower, and it's a measure of acidity, and so you want high acid, if you do test either with a strip, or you can also do a pH meter, and you can verify, you know, that's really what they're concerned about, because that then puts the product into a non-hazardous food category, and that's what they're concerned about, the public safety, as everyone should be. What's excited, these laws are finally giving the opportunity for people the freedom to earn, and if they've got a great recipe, something they've always wanted to do, or they just love to cook, and they just love making jars of salsa. Now, finally, and this all happened in 2010. It's fairly recent. You now can turn that passion in the kitchen into some profits for your home. And that's what we're really excited about.
Yeah, and talk about how you've got your book organized.
Well, we have different sections. The first really goes into the cottage food laws, because the book is national and focused. So it addresses, you know, goes into the details of what those questions, the where, what, where, how, and how much. And we go into the what can you sell, where can you sell it, how much can you sell of whatever it is you're making, and then the process by which you can, you know, make those sales. And those are a little more intricate. That's like, can I deliver it? I can take an order and then go to a farmer's market, or I just have to show up with my cases at a farmer's market and see if I sell any. But those are two very different questions, though, because as a person that's running a business, it's much easier to be able to do deliveries in that way. So the book really looks at things. The first section really goes into the cottage food laws, the trends, how it came into being. Then the middle section goes a lot more into what we have a personal interest and passion for, which is the marketing aspects of things. So, yes, we do address product a little bit, but we also go into pricing, and there's lots of different ways of calculating your price, your promotion, and then we added a few more in those wonderful, you know, P's of marketing that you get taught about in university, but we had a few more with people, partnerships, and purpose/passion, because really, for cottage food entrepreneurs, you're really the face of your food, in much the same way as a farmer, you know, that's selling at a farmer's market is the face to the produce. With cottage food, it's very similar, and your label is going to reflect that explicitly, but your interactions with your end customer, which is what by law you have to have that interaction. There's no secondary channels. It's all direct. But what's interesting is this interest in farm to table, artisan foods, specialty food products, of which your refrigerator sounds completely packed full of. You know, that is the trend of where everyone is now going. We want to know where our food is coming from. And cottage food, by their very nature, are artisan batches, small batches, handmade, handcrafted. There is usually one set of hands, the owner, that touches the product all the way through the entire cycle, from the garden into the actual exchange at a farmer's market. It's the same person, and that direct connection is really what this whole movement celebrates.
Well, and for anybody has thoughts about starting something like this, your book is, is pretty much perfect way. I would read it before I even did anything else. If you've got a product in mind, you can say, well, maybe I could sell this. Well, you probably ought to take a look at this book and read the book. You guys, how did you get interested in all this? What have you sold yourselves?
We're really excited about it because we have so much produce here at Serendipity Farm. And so what do we do with all this stuff? We only can eat so much fresh, especially pickles. So you're stuck with, gosh, what do I do with all this? And so we now, under the cottage food law, you make dill pickles, bread and butter pickles, relish. We take our rhubarb, which is getting really excited to do very soon here. Mm-hmm. We actually make some rhubarb shrub, which is kind of, again, one of those artisanal cocktail mixes that you're seeing crop up in certain restaurants now. It's a special sort of high acid, vinegary kind of mixture that goes back to Thomas Jefferson days. We make sauerkraut, and then our hot number one bestseller, you're going to love this, Larry, pickled pumpkin.
Ah!
Who knew it, right? People, and what's interesting about our number one hot seller, people who buy it are not the ones eating it. Just about everyone bought it for a gift for that family member who they knew would love it. So it's a gift. So, and that's what we go into in that marketing section, you know, which is a good portion of Homemade for Sale. We really go into, you know, thinking all the way through. I mean, there's a way of selling pickles that are in a large jar that you just have to eat, you know, with a picnic. But then there's a way with the jams and jellies to do a whole sampler pack. And so you have, you know, eat through the entire season. So you have, you know, one jar of jam would be for strawberries. And then the raspberries come a little later, so you would have the raspberry jam. And then you go a little bit later on, you might have some wild berries that you harvest, and you incorporate those into a blackberry jam. And then when you go to that holiday farmer's market or holiday bazaar, you sell it as sort of a celebratory gift sort of sampler pack of all, you know, eat through this entire season of this delicious fruit jam or jelly. So it's thinking about marketing, you know, from that perspective, because obviously you might be able to garner a little more money by selling it as that gift pack. But it, again, it's part of listening to your customers too, and that's in the spirit of the cottage food law. That is what it's allowing you to do, is experiment. You know, once you get out to the farmer's market, you're going to get some feedback really fast of, you know, you may think you have a great case tasting sauerkraut or whatnot, but the customers are like, eh, it's okay. You'll get some feedback that you can keep working on your recipe, even though in our case we still have to stick pretty close to the extension-proved recipes or certain recipes out of like the Ball Book or something from the National Center for Home Food Preservation, recipes that are very tried and true and have been tested. And there is some creativity in the sense of maybe some mixtures or combos that you could try out. But and then, of course, it gets to the packaging, what the package actually looks like, that you can finally kind of close your sale. It's the sizzle, if you will, that sizzle factor.
Lots of really good information in the book. John Ivankoe, our guest. If you have a question or comment or maybe an experience to share, maybe you are in business and doing this already, I'd love to hear your experiences. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions or comments. Somebody wondered, well, here you got a $5,000 sales cap. What if I, you know, go and start out in the first year, I make $6,000?
That is reason to celebrate. your products are the hit, and that's where you want to be. I mean, that's where many people want to be. And so then you can look at your various options. You can go into a shared use, and we mentioned this a little earlier in the program, but you could rent in a shared use or community / incubator kitchen. And in Madison, of course, you have the Feed Kitchen. And over in the Door County area, you have the Algoma Farm Market Kitchen. And there's several others all throughout the state. And more keep coming on the radar as we speak, because there's real hunger and interest in wanting to go that next level. And in some cases, and this is an interesting one, while cottage food producers need to sell, according to state law, at a farmer's market or holiday bazaar, some farmer's markets may not allow cottage food operators to sell there.
Oh.
There are some nuances of relationships that exist, so you may be forced, if you wanted to go to, like, the Dane County farmer's market, to actually get into a shared-use commercial kitchen, or some folks have rented restaurants on off hours, and depending on the scale of the operation themselves, some farmers, because they produce lots and lots of volume of tomatoes, will just go to what's called a co-packer, and they just give them the volume, they give them the recipes, and that co-packer produces the particular food product for them. But in that case, those are sort of different laws, different rules, different regulations, and so forth that are involved that are not really addressed within the context of the cottage food law. So there's a whole separate thing. And the final section of our book, we, in essence, sort of tease that next step out, have folks think it all the way through, because you have to really decide what is what if making pickled is your thing, do you really want to be in charge of managing other pickle makers as your business expands, or do you still want to be doing the pickle making? And that's an important variable for folks to think through. You know, what is it about this business that they really love? And it might be making some money, but it also may be just because they love to cook and they like doing that and they like the interaction, and if suddenly you're hiring someone else to go out and sell this product wholesale, and by going to a community kitchen or a co-packer, then you can do wholesale, and there's the avenues of distribution expand exponentially at that point. And then there's, of course, an infinite sales cap. So, you know, it really is getting people to think through, you know, to what scale you really want to go. In our case, and many of the others, including Erin Schneider, which we feature in the Homemade for Sale book, she runs a hilltop community farm over in Laval, Wisconsin. She's just doing it as a diversification for her operation, to sell a little bit in the off-season, especially at a winter holiday farmer's market type event. So she only makes about $2,000 a year, but $2,000 on top of her CSA operation, community-supported farming operation, you know, all these different revenue streams coming together make her enterprise much more viable. And that's what we're really all about, is diversification and creating dynamic relationships between the different products that we could possibly create on our farm or in our operation.
Yeah. Carol in Plymouth has a question. Hi, Carol.
Hi there. I don't really have a question. I just want to share that I am a buyer of local produce, and it's done from a farm which is south of Plymouth in Wisconsin, and I've done it for, I think, at least 6-7 years, maybe longer, and I haven't even had to go to the medical doctor for any reviews other than I do have an eye issue right now, but beyond that, I'm in great health, and I am thrilled with the local products that are presented. They are done out of love and a lot of hard work. entity is Springdale Farm, south of Plymouth.
Oh, nice comments. John, comment?
Yeah, again, it taps into your refrigerator, Larry, full of all these specialty food products.
Yeah.
You know, people are really hungry for this. They want to know that there isn't all these mystery ingredients inside that jar. And what the cottage food industry really celebrates is the fact that these are from scratch, artisanal made, in many cases, like Erin Schneider at Hilltop Community Farm, it's organic, and it's giving you, a greater choice and a selection. The quality of the ingredients are much, much higher, which ultimately lead to the taste and flavor. That's really what it's all about, is the taste and flavor are so much better, and that's why people go to farmers markets, among other reasons, but that's a big reason why. It's the taste and the flavor, and now with the cottage food laws on the place, you're going to get that same sort of taste and flavor in the jam and jelly.
Herb from Manitowish called to ask if he can sell, these are wild mushrooms, dried wild mushrooms that he's collected.
That is a question that does not fall under cottage food laws. That would be a good question directly to Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. They have, I'm sure, the agricultural classifications of different types of things, and mushrooms, I'm sure, would fall under their domain of what and how you would do that. But that would not be the cottage food law that would address his interest in mushrooms.
Now, I had a graduate student who was last year was selling a lot of wild mushrooms directly to chefs in some high-end restaurants in Madison, to be perfectly frank. And she may have needed a license for that. I don't know. But she didn't have one, I'm pretty sure, of that. But, you know, obviously that's always something you want to make sure that you're following the rules. Do you have to have a license for the cottage food?
That's the exciting part. No, how about that? You just follow their rules and their specifics. You know, the types of products, the limit on the sales, that you don't sell at, a local retail outlet. In other words, you sell wholesale. You only go direct to producer to consumer at farmers markets and so forth. Then there's some specifics on what you have to put on your label, and when you're selling, at the point of sale. Beyond that, you're good to go. There's several other suggestions, like testing for pH, which we do every time, and you're using certain recipes that come from Extension, which we also do. We also do some record keeping, but there's no fee that you have to pay somewhere, or you're not inspected. It really is, as I mentioned, the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture. We're not talking about the Department of Health. Health take care of catering and restaurants. What we're talking about here is basically food products. It's product versus service, and we're talking just about product here, and at that, only high-acid products, at least so far. We're working on trying to change that one day, but right now it's just the sauerkraut, salsa, chutney, jam, jellies.
You're teaching a workshop on August 1st at the Soil Sisters event focused on starting a cottage food business. What will you and Lisa be teaching at that, John?
Yeah, we're going to cover the works in 2 hours. Bring your ideas. Bring bring everything you got. Your recipe that you want to use, whatever you want, and we'll cover the difference between a lid wand and a jar lifter, and go through the whole process. Show us all of our equipment. Showcase anything and the steps along the way. Work with folks if they've got ideas on how you would need to do the labels. It will share or show all of our products. Have them all laid out. Do you see how we do it? And cover some other suggestions and ideas, and the workshop even includes a copy of our book. So it pretty much is a one-stop, two-hour. You come, you should leave that 2 hours having a pretty good mastery of where you want to go and how you want to get there.
And that's where do we go to sign up for that?
The Soil Sisters main website has a link off under the workshops for that August 1st, and that's soilsisterswi.org.
Soilsisters.wi.org, and again, the event is August 1st. Is that a Saturday? Or?
Yep, it's a Saturday.
Yeah, okay, I thought it was a Saturday. Well, there are, do you have any cautionary tales?
Not that we're aware of so far. Again, it comes back to, there's food scares left and right. You don't have to look very, some company down south is recalling hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of gallons of ice cream. You can't wait. It's almost as frequent as a weather report in terms of the latest outbreak of something that is contaminated, whether it's chicken. And, of course, here now we're dealing with, avian flu that's on the horizon for, we're having issues there. With the cottage food, though, we're talking about non-hazardous foods, and we're talking about folks that are so intimate with their product and so careful at how they're being made and in such small quantities and batches that it's pretty darn hard to mess this one up. And that's part of the whole point, I think, why 42 states across the country say, gosh, are we being a little overly restrictive here? We should loosen this up a little. When the Great Recession hit, people were panicked. People were losing their houses. They couldn't pay the bills. And here we are telling them they can't go out and make a little money because. Now they looked at it and say, if you go with these certain recipes and these kind of products, and you're growing a little of your own tomatoes to make or cabbage to make a little sauerkraut, and you've got someone in your community excited to buy it, why not allow you to do so? And, do it in a way, go through these regulations and make sure on the label, for example, that people are clear that they're buying it from someone that makes it in their home kitchen. So that's where you have, again, that sentence, this product was made in a private home, not subject to state licensing or inspection. Just make it clear of the dynamic in which that exchange takes place. And
you're good to go.
It's really exciting.
John, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us today. I really appreciate it. And I think, anybody interested in doing this, they need to take a look at your book for sure. Thanks, John.
Thanks so much.
John's book with Lisa Kiverest is titled Homemade for Sale, How to Set Up and Market a Food Business from Your Home Kitchen. I like that title a lot because it says exactly what is in the book. There's no guesswork. There's no guesswork at all. And go online to our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. We've got a link to how you can order copies. Or just go to homemadeforsale.com. Stay with us. Lots in store.